Good evening, everyone. I'm reading a scripture that has inspired me years ago, and I don't know if I'll, well, it talks about it, the great and precious promises. And what the Holy Spirit instilled into me, how would I know where they are unless I have them marked in my Bible? And I have well over 100 highlighted promises in the New Testament that I can go to them and I can share them to others so that I know. Okay, we're reading from 2 Peter 1, 1 through 15. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious promises or precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. Thereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. To temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and forgot that he hath purged the old man. Therefore, I would rather, brother, give diligence unto your calling and election, and your calling and election, that ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For as an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore I will not be neglected to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, ye be established in the truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, I stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endure, and ye may be able after my decease, and have these things always in remembrance. There's a lot of things here in this. I noticed that there's some math things going on here. In verse 2, he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Not added unto you, but multiplied unto you. And that grace and peace be multiplied unto us. And it mentions knowledge here 5 times, but 4 times in different places. One time is in the part where he said, add to your virtue knowledge and knowledge patience. But how do we gain that knowledge? We gain that knowledge through being here tonight. We gain that knowledge through God's answering prayers for us. We gain that knowledge through reading the Word. We gain that knowledge through our continual abiding with Him. And you know, then it says also later on in verse 5, and besides these, give all diligence to add. So that adding is, as it's going through, given those different things, that we add them. And it's hard not to be able to have one before you have the other. And the knowledge that we get through teaching, through listening, through praying, through experience, is how we add to that. With these things on our minds, let us kneel for prayer.
Good evening. Lord bless you for being here. I greet you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Brother Brian, for the sermon this morning. It was needed. It was a blessing to consider a vision personally and a vision for the church, what God would have us to be focusing on, and that was a blessing. And thank you, Brother Andy. My thought is that if we sincerely prayed those two hymns, 725 and 726, we can go home now and be blessed. Yeah. I mean, if we sincerely prayed that as we sang, we are being blessed, and we'll continue to be. And I just had to praise God that Brother Randy could be up here tonight and walking well. Praise the Lord. And thank you, brother. And Brother Randy, as he prayed, he used the word remembrance. And that jumped out at me. And of course, he had just read that word several times. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But he prayed that I would have remembrance of whatever the Spirit would give. The sermon tonight is remembering gospel truth. And you might remember last Sunday morning, the sermon was remembering Jesus. And it might be a little harder for you to remember. Three Sunday nights ago, I think it was August 9th, the sermon was remembering Lot's wife. And so tonight, we are to this sermon remembering gospel truth, especially taken from verses 12 through 15 that Brother Randy read here from 1st and 2nd Peter chapter 1. We want to look at the other verses as well, Lord willing here, but verses 12 through 15 are key here tonight, remembering gospel truth. There's, as I dug and kept searching the scriptures, there's so much about remembering other sermons that could be preached. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I'm not totally settled on that one. I remember Brother Harold Martin saying one time that he feels the most important thing is that we have a day and not get too hung up on which day it is. We have chosen Sunday. Not everybody has, but a day. A day, and keep it holy. Remembering gospel truth. Three times here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, Peter shares his desire for his audience, his readers, to remember gospel truths that they have already learned. Things that they already know. And yet it is heavy on his heart, and it is his burning desire that they would not forget, but that they would keep remembering. And he's not giving them something new to remember, but he's so concerned that they will forget. And is he overly concerned? Well, we'll consider that tonight. And are people overly concerned when they keep reminding us of certain things, certain gospel truth, scriptures that need to be followed, that need to be obeyed? I don't think so. Peter knows a person's hot faith, if we want to call it that. Hot, strong faith. Peter knows it can cool off. It can be relinquished. It can be let go and not tended to. And it can go from hot, and that you might put along with that first love of Jesus Christ as he has saved us, and let it cool off. And it can become a lukewarmness that can set in. The word complacency comes to mind as we consider our faith and our belief in the gospel, our belief in the scriptures. Backsliding. The word backsliding would enter there. And so Peter does not want to neglect he as a minister, he as a speaker, he as one who is being looked to and he's sharing with others, he does not want to neglect himself, reminding others of what is so important. He does not want them to forget what they have learned. And what have they learned? We want to remember that tonight. But Peter's second letter here, it comes about a year and a half after the first one. And it also comes right before, I mean, pretty close to, shortly before his martyrdom, his dying, his leaving this earthly tent. It comes a little bit before that. It's written to the same audience as the first letter. And he's writing, verse 14 reminds us, he mentions it, knowing that shortly I must put off this earthly tabernacle. This tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me, he was shown. And he knows his time on this earth is not much longer. And while he has a little time left, what is really heavy on his heart and what is burning within him is that he would continue to remind his audience of what they have learned, what they already know. It is that important. And, you know, Peter, he knows he's going to die soon, and maybe somebody else would have been having a big old self-pity party. I'm going to die, and it's not going to be nice either. But instead, his focus, his concern more than himself is that of his brothers and sisters in the Lord, that they would not forget the precious gospel truth. And so while he is still able, Peter wants to remind them. And it says in verse 12, that he will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. The phrase "these things." What are these things? And so I went back to the beginning of the chapter, the beginning of this second letter that he writes to them. And number one, he wants to remind them of their salvation. And Brother Randy read for us here, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. They have obtained faith in Jesus Christ. They have obtained faith in God's love for them. And so they have obtained the gospel by faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He doesn't want them to forget their precious faith, and that it hath come to them through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And through the knowledge in verse 2, as Brother Randy was talking about, and of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so first of all here, he's not going to neglect to remind them of their salvation. Here in 2 Peter 1-4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. He doesn't want them to forget that they have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And they have been given this through the knowledge of him, through Jesus Christ, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who hath called us to glory and virtue. He doesn't want them to forget in verse 4 that unto us were given great and precious promises, and that by these they might be partakers of the divine nature. Incredible truth here. And also having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so he's reminding them of all these things. He's reminding them of who they are and what they have in Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, we forget these things all too quickly, or else I'm just talking to myself, that we forget as we struggle in life and we have difficulties and we have disappointments and we're facing the unknown and we're facing a different life. And we get bogged down by that and we get blinded by that from these gospel truths and the very precious promise of who we are in Jesus Christ. Who we are and where we are, where we stand with Him. And so when those frustrations come in life, and when those setbacks come, and when we're tempted to fear, we're tempted to have anxiety, we need to remember how blessed we are and how safe we are and what power we have because of who we are in Jesus Christ as one of His sons and as one of His daughters. Remembering things like His sufficient grace. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Remember His sufficient grace when in the midst of weakness. And it also says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when we are weak, we are strong in Christ. We need to remember that. Ephesians chapter 2, something to remember here. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 6, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. He hath given us life. He hath made us alive with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We are blessed. Do you realize that that's where you are tonight? Do I? That He hath raised us up together with Christ, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? As followers of Jesus Christ, we are by far we are the most blessed people on this earth. This is all part of Peter wanting to remind them and bring to their remembrance their salvation, their beginning as Christians, made alive in and with Christ, raised to that exalted position, a position that this world will never come close to offering you. This world can't offer you anything to come anywhere close to the position that we are experiencing and receiving by God through Jesus Christ. How about being joint heirs with Christ? Romans 8, 17. Praise God. Joint heirs with Christ? That is incredible. That's beyond incredible. So again, my dear brothers and sisters, when life with its discouraging pain and sorrow seems too much, we must remember Jesus and who we are and what we have in Him. Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That is our God. He's not limited. We forget who God is because we're so entrenched in this world and everything around us, there's a limit. There's a shortage. Sometimes there's none. Water runs out, food runs out, whatever, the medicine runs out. But God has no limit. He has no limit to what He can pour out upon a people who sincerely pray things like 725 and 726. Yes. Peter wants his readers to remember that they have exceeding and great and precious promises. He wants them to remember there in verse 4 that they have They are partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. It also says that we are saved from corruption. And then Peter reminds them that they need to be continually growing. In 2 Peter, that was read here tonight, chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, he reminds them that they need to continually be growing, that they need to be in this cycle of growth, and that they need to continually be adding. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And on and on and on here through these couple verses. Temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Always adding, always growing, always in tune with the Lord and with His Spirit and with His Word, so that we might grow thereby. Peter knows that they need to be strong. He knows that their faith must be added to it. He knows it must grow stronger and stronger so that they might be able to survive when the false teachers descend upon them. The next chapter, 2 Peter chapter 2. We need to be strong when that happens. We need to be strong when we're hit with that, which is false. Another thing he wants them to remember, that an entrance is supplied unto them abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. What a powerful verse, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That eternal inheritance that we have to look forward to. Peter wants his readers to be remembering that. He also reminds them, he wants them to be reminded of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3. And by the way, in verse 1 of that chapter, here he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And then down in verses 3 and 4, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers who are walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? What are you talking about? Things have just continued and continued, and a lot of time has gone by since the fathers fell asleep. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And so the false teachers are showing up here. And they showed up in verse 2, in chapter 2. But Peter feels the need to remind them, and he reminds them here in this second letter of the second coming of the Lord. Despite what the scoffers say. So, here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Peter wants them to always, always, always be remembering these things. Even though you know them, I know you know them, and I know you are established in the present truth, but I still have this burning desire before I leave this earthly tabernacle, before I die and leave this body that I'm living in, this temporary tabernacle, while I have opportunity, and I know I don't have much, I'm going to use that opportunity, I'm going to use that time, I'm going to keep remembering, I'm going to keep reminding you. It's that important. And in verse 13, he says, yea, I think it meet. I think it's fitting. I think it's proper, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by way of remembrance. What does that remind you of? Well, you have a kettle of soup. And depending what's in there, if there's corn in there or even potatoes, a lot of things, I guess, you cooks would know, that if it doesn't stay stirred, it kind of goes stagnant down there in the bottom, and it's motionless. It's not moving along. And guess what? Soon the soup can be ruined. Nobody really wants to eat that soup once it has that burnt taste. Yeah, I've burned things ready, and yeah, it's a little harder to swallow them. But that's what it reminds me of. And that the soup would not burn fast. And the other thing is that is being talked about here when he says to stir you up by putting you in remembrance is that it would not grow cold, because cold soup's not good either. Maybe you have a different opinion, but yeah, and when a drink is supposed to be hot, it's really not good lukewarm. What is the warning to the church and to the individual there in Revelation when there is lukewarmness? He would rather that we were hot or cold, one or the other, because the lukewarmness makes him vomit, and he spews us out of his mouth. And so the soup must be stirred. It must be kept hot. Our faith must be stirred up. It must be stirred up by way of remembrance, that we would remember these things and that we would continue to practice the Christian life and add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and all these other brotherly kindness and love and all them. So Peter stirs them up by reminding them. When we read the scriptures, or we are reminded of what we read before. We are reminded when we hear teaching and preaching of what we heard before. When we discuss scripture with other people, a lot of times we hear what we heard before. But lest we forget, and lest we grow cold, unless our Christian life is all burned up into nothing, like burnt soup, we need reminded. It's interesting the language Peter uses here. He says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Well, Timothy does this. I mean, Paul, in writing to his spiritual son Timothy, does the same thing. I find it very interesting. The same phrase, stir up. Looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up. Same phrase, stir up, keep it hot, keep using it. That gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You have gifts. We each have gifts. We each have abilities and talents that need to be kept used. They need to be kept active. You might forget you even have it. So concerned about life here on earth. And when we forget we have it, and when we forget to use it, or we neglect to use it, the whole church body suffers. That's made very clear. I think it's the thing about the gifts in Ephesians, that the church would be edified. That's the whole reason that you have abilities and gifts to be used in the church, to be used among your fellow believers, that they might be edified, that they might be strengthened, that their faith might remain hot. In our text, verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me, knowing his time is short, Peter is very concerned. He's very concerned about his brothers and sisters. How does that work with us? How does that work with me? Is that true? How concerned am I for the brothers and sisters in the Lord that I am around, that I have opportunity to encourage, that I have encouraged, that I have opportunity to stir up? Where's that at in my life? Where is it in your life? We need that from each other. We cannot forget each other. We cannot allow each other to forget that which is tremendously important and valuable in our Christian life. So Peter and Paul, they are determined that these others would be kept stirred up. Keeping the soup hot, keeping it stirred, keeping it desirable. Brothers and sisters, tonight, let's keep our faith hot. Let's feed it. Let's add to our faith virtue and to our virtue knowledge and that whole list. Let's keep it active. Let's keep it growing. Let's keep that cycle of growing continuing. Always, by always remembering the scriptures. By remembering scriptures that are not popular anymore in Christianity as a whole. Across America, even across the world. Parts of God's word are not popular and they're not mentioned and they're not practiced and they're not followed. But they're truth and they're part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we do not want to forget them. So how concerned are we with this? Are we very concerned that the gospel, the true gospel, would be passed on? That it would be continued by our brothers and sisters right now, and that it would be continued by the children and the grandchildren. A lot of you have grandchildren. What will they end up practicing? What will they end up believing? So Peter has this burning desire in his heart that as long as he is on this earth, he is going to keep reminding people of the importance of God's word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all I can do is say, what about us? And I ask myself, what about me? Back in Joshua chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. And those 12 stones, which they took out of Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Why are these stones here? What are they all about? Do they mean something? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. They had something here that would serve as a remembrance. It would serve as a reminder of what God had did, what God had done. What the Lord did for his people, it needed to be remembered, and that needed to be passed down to the next generation. Think it not important? Turn to Judges chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. We'll see how important it is. Joshua 2, 10 and 11, and also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, the next generation. One generation later, another generation arose after them which knew not the Lord, neither did it know the works which he had done for Israel. Absolutely tragic. And they were told very clearly in Scripture to teach and to pass things down. But there was a gross failure here. And this next generation did not know the Lord nor the works that he had done for Israel. But everybody does something. And in verse 11, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And right away, they were into idol worship. Because you're going to turn to something. You're going to turn to someone. And when you have forgotten the Lord, you're gonna come up with something. Evil, an idol, and they served Balaam. Verse 12 says, they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. And so how important is it? It is very, very, very important. And so we need to stay stirred up, and we need to keep stirring others up. In verse 15 of our text, 2 Peter 1:15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able to, after my decease, after I'm dead, I want you to still remember. His goal is that when he is dead and gone, they will still remember, and that they will not have forgotten, that ye may, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Deuteronomy chapter 15. No, I want Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. I'll read verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. When I come across that number 40 in Scripture, it really hits me. A 40 has passed in my life, and another is about to. And I thank God for leading me through those 40 years. Even as he led the children of Israel those 40 years, and they need to remember it all the way, it says there, that the Lord thy God led thee. And then chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Remember the days of old. Oh yeah, it's not popular anymore to be old-fashioned, that's right. Remember the days of old, and ask. One more. Numbers. Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 to 40. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. You used to look to your own wisdom. You used to look to your own ability to find your path in life. And there are scriptures that make it very plain that we do not know our own way, and we depend on the Lord. So what do we have here? Why am I going back here to Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 to 40? This was for the Israelites. It was for the Hebrews. And it was a special command that God gave them, that they would have this fringe, and that they would have this border of a ribbon of blue. But look at the reason for it. That ye may look upon it. You're wearing it. And so you can be constantly reminded of it and see it And it's to remind them of something. It's so that they might remember all the commandments of the Lord and to do them. And that they would remember that seeking after their own eyes and heart is a path to shipwreck and disaster. Could this type of thing benefit us? Is what I am challenged with, and I'm simply sharing it with you. Verse 40 says that ye may remember. There it is again. Verse 39, remember, that we might remember all the commandments. And verse 40, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Holy unto your God. God's people are a separate people. God's people are a called out people. And so why would it hurt for God's people to do something, to practice something that would differentiate them and set them apart as God's holy people? And that it would serve as a reminder daily to them of who they are, that they've been bought with a price, that they are not their own, and that they are to be glorifying God in their body and in their spirit, which are God's. Or don't you need reminded who you are? Don't I? I think I do. I think I do. And so, I guess this scripture has challenged me. Could it be something that would be in my car? Could it be something that's in my house? Well, many of you have signs of scripture in your houses. Praise God. It reminds you that we are children of God, and God has given us His Word to live by, and we have these signs hanging in our houses. Some people put them out along the road, and that reminds everybody that goes by who these people are. These must be one of them. They put these signs out, and these are scriptures. These are from the Bible, and people see that. And when they come back to their own residence and pull in their driveway, they see their own sign. Our car, our truck, our house, our property. What can we have there? What we wear? The way we dress. Completely different from a world that doesn't care how they dress or how much of their body they cover. This scripture here in Numbers chapter 15, 37 to 40 has spoken to me. I know it was for Israel. I know it was for the Hebrews. But what a lesson. What an application to keep me from forgetting, to keep me remembering what is important. Remember gospel truth. God bless you.
What do I say after that? Two things struck me. The first is, many, many years ago, Brother Nevin Lookabaugh took Randy and Dale Newcomer and me to hear a brother and historian called Clarence Culp in the Wedo congregation. And he got through, at least to me, what brethren, being brethren, really means. And what's behind it, and the concept of how we look at Scripture. And it stuck, conceptually stuck. And many times after that, I've had to deal with Mennonites and Baptists and Methodists and them. I shouldn't speak of them that way. But what he said made a lot of difference in how I deal with them. because we really are different. And I think what the early brethren were trying to do, I don't agree with everything they did, but what they were trying to do and how they were looking at Scripture makes an awful lot of sense. And we need to be stirred up about that, that thinking. We're mostly concerned with the world, but that difference in how we view Scripture is different in ways you wouldn't expect. The other thing that came to my mind, just speaking of gospel truth, Brother Brian said, if Jesus said, ask you, what should I do for thee, like he did to blind Bartimaeus, what would our answer be? And Brother Andy was leading interesting songs, and my answer to that would be a song in the Black Book 689. O Lord, my sin and guilt is great, at mercy's door I stand and wait, rich pardon there I hope to find in him who heals the lame and blind. Dear Jesus, come and make me whole, forgive my sins and save my soul. Let angels bear my song above to swell the triumphs of thy love. If you want the gospel, there it kind of is. And that would be my request to Jesus. Let's stand for prayer.